Senate Transportation Committee, it is 1:05 on January 21st, and we are going to, oh, no, January 28th. I looked at my meeting notice, sorry. 28th, and we are calling the meeting to order. Today, I have Senator Menard with us, and Senator Betty Davis, and Senator Pasclan. And we are meeting today on one bill, and that is Senate Bill 218, Motor Fuel Tax Suspension. So we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order, and let's go ahead and have the first presenter. I would like to let you know that it's my intention not to move the bill today. I want to have the hearing, and then we have some further discussion that we need to do. So that's my intention. As the chairman, we're going to have the meeting, have the hearing, and then we're going to recess. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Hukesh. For the record, my name is Ginger Blaisdell. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Revenue. And I'm happy to present this piece of legislation to you today. So in your packet, you should have our sponsor's statement, a brief sectional analysis, a little announcement from when the governor announced that he was releasing the bill, and a fiscal note. And with me is Joanna Bales. She's the Deputy Director of the Tax Division, and she can answer any questions that you have about motor fuel tax and its impact on the state. So escalating costs are placing a difficult burden on many Alaskans, particularly for those who live in rural areas of the state. Suspending the motor fuel tax is one step toward making Alaska's living expenses more reasonable across the state. The actual amount of money saved would vary depending on the type of fuel being purchased. However, most consumers would save 8 cents per gallon when filling up their vehicles. It's important to note that while the motor fuel tax suspension would provide temporary assistance for 2 years, we still need to work together to seek longer-term solutions for the energy costs facing us. It's the needs of Alaska's families, communities, and businesses that justify the proposal contained in this legislation. And as you look through the bill itself, I can give you a real quick section analysis on what each piece does. Section 1 suspends the motor fuel tax for 2 years, beginning July 1, 2010, and ending June 30, 2012. Section 1B requires motor fuel dealers to report the amount of motor fuel sold or transferred in the state to the Department of Revenue and provides for a penalty up to $5,000 for failure to report. So we are still collecting the information, just not the tax. Section 1C, the Department of Revenue would be able to immediately draft regulations to implement the suspension. Section 1D, a motor fuel dealer is defined for purposes of who must report sales or transfers and include anyone who would have remitted taxes except for the fact that the fuel tax has been suspended. And then Section 2 and 3 are repealers, and Section 4 provides for an immediate effective date.
Okay, is that your presentation? Did you have anything you'd like to present?
I think
your name, please, for the record.
For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division, and thank you for having me here today. One of the things I'd like to point out that Ginger hadn't mentioned is that the motor fuel tax suspension does suspend all the different motor fuel tax types. That includes the tax type for motor fuel used in highway, in marine, jet fuel, and aviation. So it does affect those other tax types as well.
Okay, thank you. We'll go to questions from the members of the committee. Any members of the committee have a question for the presenters today? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your presentation this afternoon. Wait. Senator Meyer has
thank
a
you, Mr.
question.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for being late. Now, so this is basically the same bill that we had 2 years ago when we suspended the 8 cent tax, and then it went back in effect last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Mai, okay. That it's would do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thanks.
Well, let me do ask follow up on a question then. When you do collect a tax, could you tell us and break down where it would normally go?
Mr. Chairman, the tax does go to the general fund. There is a sub account in the general fund for a special highway use account. to be used for highway maintenance and other highway projects.
So, in effect, what we do here when we suspend a tax is we take money away from a fund that would repair and upgrade and maintain highways?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That's true, but one thing to note is that for our highway maintenance and repair, the fuel tax has been a very small amount of the total amount of money that we've always appropriated for that. So just so you're aware of that.
And just to follow up, I don't see any question right now. Is that money used in any way to match any federal dollars at all?
Mr. Chairman, that would be part of the general fund money, but again, the fuel tax has been so small that we have had to have a significant amount of other general fund money used to match highway dollars.
Okay.
So we have always supplemented with other funds.
Okay, Senator Menard?
Would you just share for the rest of the committee, as well as those that are in the audience, just exactly where we stand as far as the other states, as far as the amount? Isn't it the least amount that any state pays?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, we do have the lowest tax rate at 8 cents. The closest rate, I believe, is in Georgia, which is 15 cents a gallon, and then the top tax rate is the state of Washington at 37.5 cents a gallon.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But I think we also have the highest per gallon gas prices in the nation up here too. So it's nice not having that 8 cents on top of it. So, and I think Senator Davis, don't you have a bill like this?
Well, I have the same bill. My bill has been buried and it's in finance. I spoke with the administration. They are aware of my bill, and they have no problem. I think, you know, once this bill moves out of transportation, it's probably going to be sent to finance. And I thought at that time both bills could be heard at the same time, maybe. But yeah, I do have a possible amendment that I'd like to offer, but I'm not going to offer it now. I'm just going to pass it to the chair, see if he's going to do a new CS. That would bring the governor's bill more in line with my bill. I think I have copies of that amendment that I was just going to pass out to the members of the body here to see if they're interested in having that as amendment. But I'm supportive of his bill. He's supportive of mine. They don't care which bill passes as long as a bill passed that will eliminate the 8 cents tax.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
Go ahead and follow up, Senator.
Okay, just to follow up, I think we all heard of the concerns that our congressman had that if we repeal this tax, it could hurt us as far as getting additional money from the federal level. Is that a concern of the administration's?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, as Ginger went through the bill analysis, there is a section in there that requires the reporting. As I stated earlier, we've never had enough revenue from this particular tax to match those federal funds. But part of that matching program is we do have to provide the reporting of how much fuel is used on the highways. That provision in this bill would give us those reports. And during the last suspension period, we were able to provide those reports. And so our federal highway dollars will not be affected as long as we can continue to report.
Okay, so that, if I may,
yes,
Mr.
Chairman, please.
That's all we have to do is report. We don't have to show we're actually collecting some amount of tax of any. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Pascal, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Would increasing the motor fuel tax result in a greater revenue share, federal revenue share?
Senator Pascal, through the chair, no, it does not. Alaska, we're so small in the whole scheme of things that we get the lower limit amount, which is interesting. They still require us to report, but our reporting doesn't affect the amount that we receive. So increasing our tax would have no effect on our allocable portion, because what we get is a portion of the federal highway tax. So, and that would not be affected. What would affect it would be if we used more highway fuel. That's where our apportionment amount for the federal tax dollars would come in.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Pascal.
What would a motor fuel tax that corresponded with the amount of money it takes to maintain a road, what would that tax rate be? In other words, if people paid for what they got, so to speak.
Yes, Senator Passman, through the chair. That actually, I mean, I can do the calculations of how much additional revenue, but I'm not real sure. You'd have to ask Department of Transportation. I don't know what their budget is for road maintenance, repair, and building is. So that'd be something we can look into, though, to see what would be an appropriate amount if that's what you were trying to achieve. So we can look into that.
Okay. And has there, as far as paying, you know, by the gallon or paying by some increment for the road maintenance, has there been any thoughts by the administration into how, for example, an electric car might pay to keep the roads up, or how, you know, a 50-mile or 60-mile per gallon vehicle might proportionately pay their share? Because, you know, two vehicles travel 10 miles, they should pay ultimately the same thing for the road upkeep.
Through the chair, Senator Passman, I don't, and I'm not sure if this administration has actually looked at that, but I am part, our office is part of what's called the Federation of Tax Administrators, and we go to conferences and talk with other states, and they are trying to address that as the mile per gallon has increased. You know, obviously the wear and tear on the roads hasn't changed, and they've done things like they're looking at putting GPS units on cars to track their mileage. I mean, there are a lot of different things that states are looking at. I don't think Alaska's there yet. Obviously, we are have the lowest tax rate, and but those are some things to consider, and I think even the federal government is looking at that right now because of the state of the infrastructure all across the U.S. of how they are going to pay for all those roads and bridges and things like that. So that's a good question.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee or our presenters? Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah.
You sure?
Just that we urge your support in this bill.
Okay, thank you very much for being here today, and we appreciate your testimony.
Yeah, are we supposed to keep you from going somewhere else?
No. We could sit here and visit for a while. I mean. But thank you very much. Is there anybody else in the audience? We don't have anybody signed up.
No.
But is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Yes, would you please come up and state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Tom Obermeyer, staff to Senator Davis, and she is carrying the Senate Bill 14 regarding the same subject matter. And I just wanted to mention that it was my understanding, you could clarify it with Ms. Bales, that the $41 million roughly in the involved in the suspension on the fiscal note, most of this in response to Senator Passman's question is not the 8 cents on the motor fuel, which is a regular, a very small portion of it. It's mostly aviation fuel and jet fuel in this state that produces the revenue in this area that goes to the fund. So I don't know that it would involve matching for highways or whatnot, but I wanted to at least point out that those numbers are could be identified, I think, by the department. Something numbers I don't have, but it's a very significant volume of fuel.
And that's essentially why I wanted to hold a bill, because I wanted to answer to a question like that, and I also wanted to work with Senator Davis to see if we could do something with her bill and this bill so we don't have both vehicles going down the same road.
That's correct. The main difference in her bill related to the enactment language, and I think we provided in our bill a contingency in the event the act does not take effect on or after July of 2010. Our drafter explained that if the legislature failed to approve the immediate effective date, or if the bill after passage is not timely delivered or presented to the governor for review and approval, that we have a contingency so it could be enacted after the fact without any delay. We just changed the numbers so that the date itself, if you were to examine the bill, you'd see that we took out the language that made it absolutely effective on July 1st of 2010.
Okay.
That was the main difference.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony. Or any questions for Mr. Obermeyer? No, thank you very much. Anybody else in the audience would like to testify? Do we have anybody else online?
Yes.
Do we have somebody online? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have a list of who that person would be.
There's a
listener.
Over.
Okay. But since there's nobody else online, we'll see who this gentleman is online, and then we'll see if he wants to make any comments. Is there anyone online in cyberspace out there? Hello? Guess not. Okay, thank you. Well, if there's, Senator Bernard.
Just before we leave it, I'm sure Ginger from the governor's office has probably gotten the email that we got from Don Young saying that if we do without a dollar, we're missing $6 worth of federal funding. Do you have that same information? And if not, we'll get that to you because that's floating out there.
I would appreciate the email. I have not seen that.
Okay, but we'll get that to you.
Is that something we have in our package yet? I haven't seen that.
Well, we don't have that in our package. That's why we say we're going to look at that and see.
So who did Don Young send that to?
Senator Passman?
Mr. Chair, what I have in my packet is an Anchorage Daily News article of January 27th.
Where he's quoted.
They discuss that.
I see.
The correlation between the monies and the federal monies. And if I could expand on that, Mr.
Sure, yes.
As I understand, the debate that is ongoing on the federal level is we're a donee state, in other words, where we receive much more than we contribute, and the donor states that are in deficit financing at a state level are very concerned that they are, especially if we were to cancel our motor fuel tax, that why are they sending money to Alaska when they're in a state deficit and they contribute more to the federal government, we take more. And, you know, so on a federal level, it's a concern that we must consider.
Any other questions for the committee? Could I add one more item to that, Ginger, so you could look at this? I wonder if at the next meeting we can have, when we call for the suspension, how much money would that apply to gasoline, diesel, marine fuel, and aviation fuel separately? Not the total amount, but if we could have a breakdown of what those amounts are, it'd be really.
Yeah, we have that in the
report,
so it's there, and we have this year's numbers, but.
Okay. Just so we can put them in the packet for our next meeting. Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Meyer.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman, and we have a couple of members on this committee that weren't here 2 years ago when we dealt with this in the legislature. And of course, at that time we had a huge surplus, and not only did we get rid of the 8 cents, but we also gave everybody additional $1,200. And certainly, I'm not recommending that we do the $1,200 again. But I do think, since we are looking at a surplus again this year, our constituents can spend the money a lot more wisely than we will, especially now that we don't need it. And I think that. It helps the overall economy in the sense you keep the costs down. And, you know, the shipping costs won't keep going up because they won't have to pay that 8 cents. When we buy gas, we'll have 8 cents a gallon more in our pocket to spend. So it just keeps more money out in the economy for our and keeps more money with our constituents. So I support not only this bill but also Senator Davis's bill when that was here. There are some concerns, though, and I think that we do need to thoroughly understand Congressman Young's concerns and make sure we address those before we, you know, proceed forward. And I appreciate you being cautious, Mr. Chairman.
And just to let you know, in my position, I am being cautious here. I want to make sure we have all the information for us before I move it out of the Transportation Committee. And we do have some concerns, not just from individual committee members, but members of the general public. So we'll have those adjourned, and we'll have another meeting on this. We will have some time to work on it. We begin the session here, and we really would like to work with Senator Davis on her bill. Is there anything else that should come before the committee? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you.